This is Gilbert Gottfried, and America, please don't listen to What Is This Blank podcast. It's a terrible waste of time. You've been warned.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the 1 year anniversary of the What Is This Blank podcast. It has been an awesome little over a year now. We want to thank everybody for continuing to listen. And don't forget to share our episodes and our show with your friends and family, because it'll be a good time. We sort of promise. We actually can't promise that. It'll be a time that you'll spend doing something. You'll never get that time back. So do with it what you will. It's your time. You could probably do better things, but you know what? Don't do better things. Listen to our podcast. Anyways, so like I said, it's our 1 year anniversary. So what we wanted to do was bring you some of the funnier moments from some of our episodes. And we'll get into it right away with episode number one, where we were talking about the show ALF. And it starts off really great. I mean, this was the first record that we ever did. And you'll hear right away just exactly how experienced we were in doing this, specifically me. So again, enjoy. Thank you. Welcome, everybody. This is the What Is That Blank podcast.
What is this?
That's what I said. What is this blank podcast? So we're starting off good.
I can only make so many Gmail accounts.
Yeah. See, this is gonna go in. This is good stuff. It's gonna go in. This is what it's mostly gonna be like. You're just tuning in. You're 30 seconds in, and you already realize what kind of three idiots we are. Yeah, I'm a big dumb idiot, folks. Now we get into what was going on between somebody walking around in an ALF suit versus somebody just being a puppeteer to play ALF. Seemed to be some sort of weird issue with this show as to why they decided to go back and forth and not just stick with one or the other. I'm wondering the budget for the show, and I'm wondering if the people making the show were sizists. Like, were they prejudiced against, like, little people? Because in the title sequence, there's obviously a little person running around in an ALF suit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, we gotta talk about that.
Why not use the they're paying two salaries. They're paying the little person to walk around in a bunch of episodes.
But they also did not make the midget ALF suit the same as the puppet ALF suit. So when they cut to it, it just looks like a weird midget in a furry suit running around.
Yeah, and his head is huge.
Yeah. Arms are short.
Yeah.
T-Rex arms.
Yeah. Looks like a fire plug. I mean, why have two?
Well, you wonder if it's like one of the crew members' kids. Hey, just put this on.
Oh, no, it's a little person. You can tell.
It's a midget.
You can tell it's a little person.
The ratio body's up.
Yeah. Yeah, the legs aren't the right length. Even though it's an ALF suit, it still has an abnormally large butt for how short it is.
It is a dumpy butt.
I mean, I'm sorry if that offends somebody, but I'm just watch the show. You'll see what I'm talking about.
ALF is thick.
Oh, ALF is thick. That boy's damn girl, you're thick. Okay, now during this episode, we get into one of the most mind-boggling things that has ever happened during our time recording this show. And it happened in the very first episode. Kevin tries to drop some science and knowledge on us and talk about how much of an idiot the writers were in this show. The only problem is Kevin is not scientific and he's not knowledgeable. So Steven and I let him have it.
This planet Melmac, all right, he says it's got a green sky, blue grass, purple sun. Right off the bat, this fucker could not see shit on Earth. His vision would be all fucked up. But he's just like, cool, I can see everything.
What? What? So wait, because stuff's a different color on Melmac, that means you can't see anywhere else?
Are all screwed up.
What? There's doesn't make any sense.
You live your whole life in that environment. You come down here and you're all like... This is gold star stuff in my nose.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, I don't...
I love to think that you studied the eyeball during this...
Yeah, did you Google an alien eyeball to see what their color spectrum is?
No, he said it. Again, am I...
He's just describing colors.
Well, yeah, you got a green sky, a purple sun.
But that doesn't mean you wouldn't be able to see. He just comes down and all he's got to say, hey, your colors are all fucking... Are backwards and fucked up. That's it. And then end of discussion. Not... I can't see because your stuff's different colors. Shit! Now we get to the point in the episode where we're rounding out the series of ALF. And it ends in one of the most annoying ways a series could possibly end, on a friggin' cliffhanger. What the hell? We also revisit the rods and cones conversation. We find out that ALF might not have been liked as much by his own kind as we thought, and we find out that the alien task force would have been really cool to have at some beach parties. And there, the Tanner family's there, the spaceship comes, it's coming down, it's all there, and everybody's like, oh, fuck, Alf's leaving, everybody's crying now, oh my god. And then over the mountainside come these vans, because apparently that's the only thing the government can afford is vans with fucking KC lights on them. So as they come down, Skip and Rhonda go, fuck that shit, and they skip out.
But they didn't know that there was an alien task force. All that they knew was some vans with KC lights were coming down. So that made them skip out. They were like, fucking vans, KC lights.
Well, maybe this wasn't maybe this wasn't their first time to the planet.
So they knew the KC lights meant.
But also though, maybe their color spectrums are all fucked up.
Rods and cones.
And those lights are like red or something. They think they're monsters.
Now you get it. Man.
So here you're like, this is the last episode of season 4. I'm guessing within TV time at that point, nobody knew season 4, that was it. Nobody knew that was the last episode. And now hearing the Jim J. Bullock thing, them trying to get a spike in ratings, they made that episode with it. So they skip out. The alien task force closes in on ALF. That's where the fucking show ends. That's it. Skip and Rhonda, they're out. They're like, fuck you, ALF. We didn't like you that much anyway. And the alien task force just comes around. They're all like looking at each other like, what is this thing? Credits. Now we're getting to the end of the ALF episode of our podcast. And one thing left to do is introduce you to our grading system and just how morbid our minds are. Enjoy.
Oh, my God.
What happened to ALF, guys?
Well, they said every time the alien task force was in the show, they said, when we get our hands on them, we're going to torture them, dissect them.
Yeah. They said that in episode 1.
Yep.
So ALF's, we know what happened.
So ALF's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't joke his way out of it?
Nope.
That kill me!
And then he... And...
That's it.
Do you think they... probed him?
While alive.
Well, you have to anally probe somebody while they're alive to know how they react.
And since he speaks perfect English, which no one has addressed, it's probably like, does that feel good? Does that hurt?
Here's a question. Just so everybody knows, every episode of this podcast will come around to this question.
Oh, no.
If you guys remember, ALF had 4 stomachs. He says that in season 1.
Yeah.
How many buttholes did he have?
I'm going at least 2.
Mm-hmm.
Only 2 answers. It could either be 2 or 4. You could either have 1 per stomach or at least 2 compartments.
Well, let me science you this. Cows have multiple stomachs and only 1 butthole.
But is the sun purple and the grass green?
Oh, that does change everything.
So because shit's different colors, that...
You don't know.
That justifies how many buttholes you have?
I'm saying it's unknown. We don't know.
I'm going with two.
At least two. But, so then he has to have at least two colons. So it would have to go two stomachs, colon, butthole, two stomachs, colon, butthole.
Or one's just pleasure and the other two are utilitarian.
Oh, whoa! One's an itty, one's an outie. Right. Ah! Because, you know, we don't know the anatomy of the alpha, of the, wait, what are they fucking called? Milmachians?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's dumb. That's a dumb
name. By his name, we assume he's a male. And we see him naked always, but...
Yeah.
We don't know much what's going on below the fur.
Yeah. So, maybe... Maybe male and female Melmacians have both parts. Yeah. Or just they all have pokies and not... pokies and not takies.
Scientific terms.
Yeah, pokies and takies. That's what you call it.
All right, so that was pretty much how Alf rounded out. Now, episode two, we went into the movie Howard the Duck. And again, you can see just how morbid our brains are and that we're typical guys and exactly what we think about pretty much all the time.
But it was the first thing I noticed, even regardless of what I think it was Steven said. Right away, within the first few minutes, you get to see four duck tits. You get to see two tits in the play duck.
Yep, right.
And then you get to see two duck tits. Pretty nice, by the way. In the bathtub.
But they're human. Tits on female ducks.
Yeah.
Right.
They got areolas, nipple. I mean, it's full-blown human.
You don't understand what happened?
So does Howard then have a human penis, or does he have a screw penis like normal ducks?
He's got well, remember, there's a condom that we see later.
And it's not a screw condom.
No. That's right.
Oh, also!
Well, it is a screw condom, actually.
By the way, she pulls that condom out of his wallet, and it's loose. It's loose. It's a loose, dry condom.
Yeah.
You know, you don't know how they work.
I'm sure caring for your prophylactics, you can't just put a dry...
Duck world, everyone's just pulling out loose, dry condoms. And
hey.
Well, ducks have sex in water, so maybe on duck world, they have to get in a bathtub or something to have sex. You know? I mean, we don't know. What? But I'm still, why are you confused of the fact that the...
This is a strange world. Everything on the planet is a pun of a human planet Hollywood movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
How is this existing?
It's a different universe.
Based off of a different universe's movie pop culture puns?
It's a parallel universe. So it's God, crack a book, John.
But fuck, they have fish pets?
Why not? The only thing that evolved was ducks. Tim Robbins explains it thoroughly in the museum.
Ducks with Homo sapien genitals?
For some reason, yeah.
All right.
I mean, you know, if we're from monkeys, where'd all of our hair go?
Okay.
But my question about...
Well, then, if those rules are the same, shouldn't all the humans on Earth have screwy duck penises? If the duck planet... has human genitals, why doesn't the human planet have duck genitals?
Well, first of all, we don't know what kind of genitals he has. The condom was not... It was loose.
A normal-shaped condom.
Well, normal shape. Did you... Was it unrolled?
It was dry. You probably couldn't unroll that.
It'd crack.
It could. That's sad, actually.
What's sad?
That's sad. Howard had a dry, unused condom in his wallet. But he was like Howard and the Heartbreakers, his band, and he didn't. I mean, the chick calls him on the answer machine, leaves a message. Howard, come over. We're gonna have some fucking duck sex.
We don't remember her saying it quite like that.
Yeah, she said
verbatim.
She said she had a dream where they were doing this, and she's like, you know what? Just come over and I'll show you.
Oh, that's right.
It wasn't like we fucking made spaghetti and then you know, no, he put his screw dick. Into her.
Nah.
By the way, why do you know so much about duck genitalia?
Well, the human boobs on the duck got me thinking.
Tell me this. How soon after seeing that scene did you Google duck tits?
After the movie. I waited until after the movie.
Duck tits.
You just saw the human boobs on the duck, and we're like, yeah, right.
No, the first thing I thought, are those real?
Oh, all right, that's a different story.
Because they were very nice. They were very. They could have been real because they were so round. They looked. They didn't bounce at all.
Okay, now we get to this real, like, scientific plot hole that happens within Howard the Duck. But that doesn't end up actually being the main point of this clip. It turns out to be talking more about the stupid ducks that live around where I live and how not afraid of dying they are and just how much of an asshole a duck can really be.
So, the overlord has the three other overlords coming down. And if you hear the counter, it's like, you know, whatever she's saying, like, touchdown and 3, 2, and then boom, he blows it up. And those things are like, you know, a couple hundred yards from finishing their journey. They blow up the laser. Then all of a sudden they just go, nope. And they all fucking, that's not how that works.
They're there.
They're already in our atmosphere. All you did was cut off the beam. And that's the thing. If you also remember when Howard came from his planet, it was a beam. And then for some reason the beam stops.
Yeah.
And he's just floating through space.
Yeah.
Why he didn't freeze to death and die, I don't know.
He hits a roof of a building and doesn't die.
Well, I don't know.
He goes through a billboard, hits the roof of a building, and lands on a dumpster. And he gets up like, ah, shit. Like,
yeah, but, I mean, if you're going with the whole evolution thing, ducks are pretty, you know, I've plunked a couple with my car coming down my road here.
So you're cool with him not swimming, but you're cool with him shooting through a billboard, hitting a roof. And being like, maybe that's why he can't swim. He's so dense.
That's true. Oh, yeah, these stupid fucking birds. There's 100 of them that hang out at the golf course here, and they'll fly across the road. And I've literally had them bounce off my windshield. And then they do this, like, weird fucking floppy wing thing, and they go on the ground, and they fucking tool off. But you know what? That same fucking duck will then walk across the road the next day. Just like sit there and he'll fucking look at you like, fuck you. This is my road, bitch.
Okay, now in episode 3 of our podcast, we went into the 1980 something or other movie Masters of the Universe, which was a live action movie version of He-Man, Masters of the Universe. And there were so many little plot holes and just crappy writing in this movie. It was really hard to pick which clip to go with first. So this is just the one that I decided just was really kind of idiotic, the way that He-Man was asking a question and then it had nothing to do with actually what was going to happen, but the guy that he asked the question could have answered it in a different, but he didn't. And then it got, and oh my God, that, yeah. Masters of the Universe. Speaking of Gwildor's apartment. While this is all going on and the bad guys find his place, they come back to his place, which that's where they found to begin with. Why wouldn't they fucking come there to get you back? Jesus. He-Man goes, Gwildor, can these get us? That's a bad Dolph Lundgren, but it's still pretty shitty. Can it get us into Castle Grayskull? Well, of course it can. And then they start shooting in. They're like, okay, we got to get out of here. He's like, well, don't go that way. Go the back way. Okay. We'll go this way. So they go out that door, and they go, where'd this door go? It goes to the catacombs underneath Castle Grayskull. And the next scene, they're walking around in the throne room of Castle Grayskull.
That's right.
It's like, when He-Man asked you if the key could get you into Castle Grayskull, why didn't you just say, no, just fucking go out this door? We don't got to get all fucking time warpy about it, bud. I got a door. It takes me right to it.
No, let's just go through this tunnel, jackass.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've made this dangerous key that will take us anywhere in the universe.
Yeah. All you got to do is be some moron to randomly push buttons, and you're good to go. That's it. That's like... Now we get into a part of Masters of the Universe where Kevin did a little bit of research. I'm not sure why he researched this, but he did. And it has to do with one of the characters' costumes and how it might have affected the rest of her life just from wearing this costume. During the movie.
I read, here's some research I did.
Oh.
The actress who played Evil Lynn, which, by the way, is that the most half-assed name ever?
Yep. Evil Lynn.
Her breastplate was so heavy,
that filming this movie damaged her pelvis.
What?
And she could not sit down in it, and that's why every scene she's standing, and she's in extreme pain.
Really?
That's probably why she's pissed.
Wow.
Take off that 45-pound breastplate, she would have been happy Lynn.
I'm trying to remember it. It's all it did was cover up her breast, though.
Right.
It was like just two little things here that went down.
45 pounds. So,
Jesus.
Everything else is half-assed, but that breastplate's like, no, that's, you're making that real.
Wow. You know what? Another thing that's a little crazy about that actress, and I pointed out to my son when we were watching it, her eyes, those are real. Those, yeah. That's her actual, Meg
Ross?
Foster. Yeah, those are her actual eyes. There are some pictures of her on the internet where it just looks right through your soul. Because the lighting is just right to where all you see is this like crazy steely blue. It's kind of scary. She did not age well. She did not. Yeah, that's her. Steven is now showing me a picture of.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, her. That could be kind of pretty, but.
When she was younger, yeah.
Yeah, but.
But Masters of the Universe wrecked her.
And her pelvis?
Her pelvis has never been the same.
That's why she didn't age very well. She didn't have love after that. She couldn't use her pelvis.
You try enjoying life after a breastplate breaks your pelvis.
I don't want to. Okay, so now in the point of Masters of the Universe, we get into one of the just creepiest parts of the movie. Kevin brings it up. He says, I wrote down this note, but I can't remember why. Steven and I knew exactly what he was talking about. And this is going to sound a little choppy because we keep coming back to this one moment in the movie. So this is going to be like a bunch of clips from the second half of the episode that I'm going to bunch all together because we just can't get this part out of our mind. I don't know what that says about us, but if you watch the movie, you'll know exactly what we're talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
All right, what was I referencing there?
When,
at the end, towards the end.
Gets whipped.
Yep.
Was that with the sword
kneel,
guy?
He needs to kneel to grab the skull.
Yeah, the bald guy, he had the laser whip.
Yeah.
All right,
and it looks
right.
Like a big red glowing licorice string, and he whips him. And see, like, what's crazy, though, because I noticed, see, I don't know if we're on the same path here, but when he got whipped... Dolph didn't pull it off, right? He kind of was just like...
It was horrible.
It's almost like he kind of liked it.
Maybe that's where the gay laser ripping reference is from.
He didn't react quite like someone getting whipped with a laser. Like you would expect. You'd think they'd be in incredible pain. But...
I mean, He-Man's...
Well, if he has self-healing skin, those gay lasers whipping is not doing anything.
He's tough AF, man.
Well, right, but then you have to question, why whip him at all? Like, there's this weird flaw somewhere.
Well, I think you know why, and this might go to your why you wrote down gay laser whipping. You remember when they went to Skeletor while he was getting whipped? Yeah. I wish that you could see this.
So I watched this a couple weeks ago.
So this is his... staff that he carries around, and he's going, oh god, yes. Oh look at He-Man getting whipped. Oh yes, he is making love to his staff.
Exactly.
Oh my god,
yeah.
That explains it.
When it went to that scene, I was like, what the fuck? This is obviously not to torture He-Man. This is because Skeletor is trying to get his rocks off. Oh, yeah. He was like, oh, yeah. It was disturbing.
There's gay laser whipping. There's cosmic key synthesizers.
It's like they should have used something in the whipping scene to make Dolph Lundgren feel like he was getting whipped. If it was just like a little, I mean, not like an actual whip. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, something that would just be kind of like, you know.
Soft rope.
Yeah, because half the time he would go, you know, I just did the reaction of getting whipped in the back. And then the guy would go, yeah, with the whip. And it's like, no, he didn't hit you yet. I mean, you know what? Maybe he's doing that anticipation thing. He's like, there's another one coming. And that's what gets Skeletor going, folks.
Or maybe they told him he was going to be voiceover dubbed. And so it didn't matter. So he's like, undia, like getting whipped and expecting it to be dubbed.
Yeah, but they filmed him, like voice or not. Like you see him, and he's just kind of like, Like, yeah. It's not, he's not selling it. Erotic stuff.
Oh my God. I was half expecting him to lick his staff. I mean, if you have the chance to go back and just look at that last part, you can probably Google it actually, or YouTube it. I mean, he's just going, he's like, oh, yeah. I mean, he's shaking and he's like, half of his face is hidden because he doesn't want people to know that he's like, oh, I'm ashamed, but I'm also Skeletor. Who gives a shit?
Why keep a henchman who's trained in gay laser whips around unless you plant... He's been dreaming of this day for centuries.
Well, true. Maybe he just likes anybody to get laser whipped.
Like, what are you going to do when you get your hands on He-Man? Oh.
Oh, let me fucking tell you. First, I'm taking off his fucking cape. Okay?
He did.
That covers he up did. Too much shit. And he's got that thing that goes across his chest. I want to see your nips, He-Man. Then what I'm going to do is tie him up in my throne room. And then Baldy McBald guy is going to laser whip him.
Are you going to kill him? No.
No. No. I'm going to bring him out whenever I want. Once a day, once a week, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But I will watch He-Man get whipped. In the next episode of our podcast, we started talking about Saved by the Bell, which all of us grew up watching, actually, except for Kevin. Streets of Kalamazoo were too hard for him to be able to get away with watching some Saved by the Bell. This is one of our most popular episodes. We have well over 100 listens on it. And it's also, I think, one of our longer ones, too, because while a lot of this stuff wasn't just like super funny to where you can put a bunch of clips on there, it was like funny bits that we kept talking about through the entire episode. One of those episodes within Saved by the Bell that we happened to discuss was when Zach pimped out Lisa Turtle so that she could make some money back to pay back her credit card debt. Yeah, I'd like to see that in a show these days.
Hey.
Do you remember the one episode where Lisa... I just remember this because it was one of the ones I watched. where they all got their report cards. And they go to the max, of course. Kelly comes in. She got all this, so her dad bought her this. And the other one comes in. She did this, so her dad bought her this. And then it's time for Lisa. He's like, well, Lisa's not here because her dad gave her a credit card, told her she'd go to the mall and buy something. And she ended up buying like $400 worth of shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So then she was all worried about what her dad was going to say. And then there was the where she was trying to make her money back. Like, I don't think I could see this in a show nowadays where Zach's like, I'll help you. I know what we'll do. What the fuck is that? What is that noise? Hey, is the washer going? Welcome back to the What Is This Blank podcast. Jesus Christ.
I can name that noise in two notes.
So anyways, the fuck was that?
It was the ice machine.
Oh, it was the ice maker in the fridge.
That's what I was going to say, ice machine.
What is things that are in my kitchen, Alex? Okay. Anyways.
So Kelly.
Yeah, I know where we're at. I was trying to make a pause. Just see if I want to edit that out later. It's pretty good.
It's the best part of this episode so far.
Hey.
Ice machine.
That in the beginning. No, where then Zach starts selling tickets for the other boys and nerds to like kiss Lisa.
Yeah.
And then you go to Screech and he's got like a whole roll of tickets. What was he expecting? Then in the episode, we get to one of those points that happens in after school television, whatever sort of kids show you might be watching, where it's just a ridiculous thing where there's no way that that actually happens in real life. It's not possible, but they do it to make it like a feel good story. Well, case in point was the dance contest at the Max where Lisa and Screech were dancing for Casey Kasem, some sort of dance contest. And then we also get a little bit into their wardrobe. You know, and you know what? Early on, there's no way Screech and Lisa won the dance contest with Casey Kasem doing their the sprain.
The sprain.
Which he tries to figure out the name for it when he already said the name for it when he introduced him. They're coming out here with their new dance called The Sprain. And then after they win, he's like, they're going to do their dance called the Sprain. Like, oh, I just thought of it right now. I'm Casey Kasem. It's like, come on.
I mean, sympathy votes aside, it was a terrible dance.
Yeah. Kelly and Slater should have won that dance contest.
Yeah.
They all wanted to win, and then when it comes to Lisa and Screech, they're all like, come on, everybody, come on. AC Slater's got his mullet going because he's going like this with his head. That thing was whipping back there. His tight-ass spandex. And I'm convinced Mario Lopez has no penis.
You cannot.
There's no bulge.
There's no
bulge.
Or taping. There was heavy
Kelly
taping.
Had a bigger bulge than he did.
Or nothing. You don't confidently get into that, sporting that.
Without at least thinking of putting a sock in there. Teenage girls in America have a crush on me. Let's give them something to think about.
And then every time he did, like, all the girls in the audience would scream, and you're like,
yeah.
No.
Yep.
This is Saturday morning, though.
That's true. Ah, shit. I forgot. Saturday morning. Well, but they still put him in those tiny-ass shorts. Kelly Kapowski wearing weird things that would only cover her tiny little breasts. Like, every day, she would have something on that only covered her tiny little boobs. Okay, during the episode, we kind of talked about some of the actors and actresses and what they have done since the show and what they might be doing in the future. The first one we got to was Elizabeth Berkley. If you're a one-tracked-minded teenager boy back then you know exactly what Elizabeth Berkley did sometime after Saved by the Bell.
Can we talk about Showgirls? Or
I've never seen it. I've seen bits and pieces, but I've never seen it.
Never seen Showgirls?
No.
How did you watch?
You watched Saved by the Bell religiously and never said, I need to watch Showgirls?
It was an NC-17. Those aren't things you easily come across in the 90s.
You've been an adult for a while now. I mean, you're going on a couple years now. You could find it. You could watch it.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to be honest. There wasn't like a part of me that's like, oh, I can't wait to see. Because I know the movie's a train wreck from what I've read and heard about it. It's awful.
It's terrible.
So there's a part of me where it's just like, I'm not like dying to see a terrible movie, I guess.
Well, fast forward through the acting. Watch the dancing. Gina Gershon is also in that movie. Nice. Back then. Again, she's never going to hear this podcast, so I can say that. She was fine back then, not so much now. I haven't seen Showgirls. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
I hope I get you a Secret Santa next year. Okay, next we got to Lark Voorhees. She played Lisa Turtle on Saved by the Bell. And if you have followed anything about her life since the show, hasn't really been that good. And there was a time where she was obviously going through something.
You know who I can almost guarantee will not be? Lark Voorhees.
Oh,
she looks like a train wreck. She has, Google her face. Like, literally, just Google Lark Voorhees' face. What is that?
That's the Hallmark movie, Lucky Christmas.
Lucky Christmas, on the Hallmark Channel.
Elizabeth Berkley, formerly of Showgirls fame. Is now doing Hallmark movies.
These pictures can't be real.
Of Lark Voorhees?
Yes.
Let me see.
No, they are.
What did she do?
Everything that was on the menu at the doctor's office.
She went to the plastic surgeon and was like,
they were like, what can we do for you? She's like, well, you see everything on that side of your board? They're like, yes. Well, combine that with the other side and I'll take it all to go.
I literally have a tear. Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, so I don't, I mean, unless there's something they can do to soften that up.
No. There's no coming back from that.
I mean, do you...
The next step is Skeletor.
I mean, if you... Oh my gosh. Like, if you...
Courtney Cox is like, what?
I'll be Lisa Turtle, damn it. Oh my goodness. Steven's having tummy problems.
I gotta look at this again. Oh gosh.
So just so everybody knows, we just Googled Lark Voorhees, who played Lisa Turtle on Saved by the Bell. And she is a wreck.
She paid money for that. Like, so much money.
I would assume a lot, but by at the looks of the work?
Unless...
She might have gone down south for it?
A deranged fan threw acid on her face at some point, and she had to do the best she could to put stuff back.
You know what? She knew they were going to reboot Joker. So she was trying to get ahead of the game. She's like, how about a female Joker, guys?
She really stepped into that role.
Yeah. She fucking Sammy Sosa'd herself a little bit. Yeah, that's what she did. She went in there. What would you like? Have you do you know who Sammy Sosa is? Jeez.
Like, what tone do you want your skin? Yes.
Do you have any printer paper? Oh, bless her heart. Bless her heart, though. You know,
I didn't know that one existed.
Bless her heart.
So, if you were a big fan of Saved by the Bell, then you probably remember the biggest fight to ever happen between Zach and Slater. There was back and forth regarding, like, Kelly, you know, here and there, and maybe a girl every now and then. But the biggest one ever was a new girl that came into the school. I don't remember her name, but they both saw her. They both fell in love with her. And she drove such a wedge between them that it ended up in this epic brawl that happened at the senior party at the Max. Zach sees her first at the lockers. And then Slater sees her in the classroom. And then they meet up each other at the Max or at school. Like, whoa, Preppy, I got to tell you about this girl I met. No, man. I got to tell you about this girl I met. Well, let's meet up at the Max later. We'll talk about her. Sweet. So they meet up at the Max. And here walks in the girl. Like, hey, you know that girl I was telling you about? Yeah, there she is. No. That's the girl I've been telling you about. He's like, no. So they then run up to her and ask her to the dance at the exact same time. And she's like, well, I got to think about it. So then this ensues fighting between Zach and Slater. It starts when they go to sit down at the same table with her at the Max, and Zach kicks Slater's chair out from underneath him.
Oh shit. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Embarrassing, and it hurts your butt. Bad move. Then, later on, I believe the next thing that happens is Zach asks her to come over and study. So, they're at the house studying in the bedroom with a closed door. I'm a parent. I don't approve. Especially with Zach, that slimy little fuck. Come on. And Slater comes in. Hey, Preppy. I was at home, and I realized I owed you $20. I don't have any money, so I figured I'd come over and work it off for you. Starts vacuuming his bedroom with a leaf blower, basically, on reverse to suck up the leaves. But it's like, you know, the opening of it is like 2 feet around. And, of course, he sucks up Zach's notes. So now they can't study. So then Zach's like, you need to go. And Slater, like, sticks his lip out. I guess I'll go away then. And the girl's like, no, come sit down in between us. And she didn't have an accent. I don't know why I just gave her an accent. So he then sits down in between them. That's the dick move. You sit on the other side. You don't sit in between. I mean, come on. Everybody knows that. It's bros before hoes, but if you're going to be, you know, have the hoe become before, then you got to break that shit up. It's bros between hoes. Then I believe the next part is they're at school. And Slater comes up to Preppy and goes, Preppy, that wasn't cool, man, what you did at, oh, no. Then Slater takes her to a movie. Slater takes the girl to a movie, and then Zach hires Screech to be a usher, dressed in old-timey Usher gear. Seems legit. It seems to me that Slater would know whether or not Screech works at the movie theater, but whatever. But then hires this actress to be Slater's mom.
Uh-oh.
Lady comes down. Slater, I thought we were going to go to the movies. I don't know who you are, bitch. And she's like, I'm your mother. And the girl's like, is that your mom? Slater's like, that's not my mom. I don't know who this bitch is. Ends up sitting in between Slater and the girl. Then they go to the school. Slater comes and pushes Zach up against the locker. Zach says, you better back off, bitch. And then he pushes Slater. He's like, no, you're a bitch. I'm not a bitch. You're a bitch. And then they start throwing hands at each other, right? Then Mr. Belding comes and breaks it up. Oh, Mr. Belding is also wearing a wig in this episode because they're coming back to school, and this summer he got a wig with a ponytail. He's trying to be cool. Yeah. So.
He wasn't even bald.
He was baldish. He was balding. Belding was balding. Yeah. So, they're in Mr. Belding's office. He's talking to him. Blah, blah, blah. You know, they shake hands. They shake hands. Well, of course, that doesn't last, you know, at all. They almost fight again in the school. Mr. Belding walks up, breaks it up. So then it's time for this senior party that they're going to at the Max, of course. Everything happens at the Max. Mr. Belding shows up, even though it's supposed to be an unchaperoned senior party at the Max. Mr. Belding shows up, and he gets shunned by Screech, of all people. Mm-hmm. And Slater and Zach both go to get punch at the same time, at the punch bowl. They both grab the spoon at the same time to get their punch. Oh, no. You already know what's going to happen.
Someone chokes a bitch.
Someone chokes a bitch or splashes them with punch. So, Zach splashes Slater with punch. Oh, my word. And then Slater goes, oh, you're sorry for what? For this? And he splashes Zach with punch. Okay. Then, Zach takes the punch scooper and puts punch down Slater's shirt. And then Slater does this, like, worm breakdance type of thing, which makes all the girls go crazy, as usual, because Slater's dancing. So all the girls are like, ooh, because he did this, you know, move. Then Slater puts punch down Zach's pants, okay, which Zach broke then. Mark Paul Gosselaar broke. He laughed when that happened. Just point that out. Horrible acting. He totally Pete Davidson that scene right there. He broke big time. So then, now they're going to fight. They're going to fight. And they're gonna, and Mr. Belding comes. He gets in between them. They're mortal enemies. They're fighting now. Oh, my God. And Mr. Belding's like, no, boys, stop fighting. And they somehow go over Mr. Belding's head and knock his wig into the punch bowl. They immediately both stop fighting, look at the punch bowl, look at Mr. Belding, point at him and laugh. All's forgotten.
That's it?
All's forgotten, bro. That's it. Fighting over. Sorry, Prep. Sorry, Slater.
I mean,
we're all cool.
On one hand, I'm pissed about this punch in my crotch, but on your hand,
yeah.
Look at that idiot.
Yeah. And then Zach points out to Slater, you're all wet. And Slater goes, you're all wet too, Preppy. Like, well, you just fucking poured punch on each other. You guys didn't realize what happened? I mean, is this new information to you? Okay, the next show we decided to talk about was Charles in Charge. This was a real weird show about a guy who moved into somebody's house to watch their kids. But the people that actually lived there had moved, and now it's another family. So he ends up watching there. It's a really stupid show. And it did one season and took like 3 years off before it did season two. Some really weird stuff. But the first thing that we talk about during that episode was my, let's say, lack of willing to watch crappy television sometimes, which really, Kevin really loves that about me. I think he thinks that's one of my most endearing qualities. Enjoy. I'm going to be honest, I wouldn't know because I didn't watch any episodes past season two.
Son of a bitch.
I wish this was on YouTube so you could see Kevin's face. His look of disgust right now, because I'm looking over at him
And he pulled out of his trapper keeper
of
a plethora of notes. But here's the thing. I don't got to see all these episodes to make fun of him. He can tell me what the episode's about, and then I can just rip on it. I mean, that's where we're at these days.
Steven, how many episodes do you watch?
You'll actually be proud of me this time. I watched episodes 1 and 2 of season 1. I watched episode 1 of season 2 3 years later?
Yes.
And then I watched the final episode, which I'm very angry about.
I'm glad someone watched that one at least, because
God damn it.
That's a shitstorm.
The last episode ruins everything I know about Charles in Charge from here until the end of time.
And they break the barrier.
The
fourth wall?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to hear you guys talk about the final episode.
Two seasons.
I honestly sat down today and I was going to watch more. No, I watched the other ones. Listen, you know that my head was preoccupied with some other stuff this week. So, it's...
What better way to take your mind off of anything?
Yeah, I guess Kevin really doesn't like it if I don't watch the actual show or movie that we're supposed to watch. You know, what am I supposed to do? I'm a busy guy. So then later on, we kind of breached the subject just briefly of if there was some goings-on between Nicole Eggert and Scott Baio. And then Kevin just can't let it go. So... Nicole Eggert. How much stuff do you think went on between those two? Again, Scott Baio. Actually, Scott Baio might hear this podcast. Nicole Eggert. Fuck, you know what? They're both so D-list celebrity right now.
Well,
they might hear this.
We might need him on Cameo.
Oh,
shit.
Oh.
Yeah. Cameo. That's. By the way, if you guys don't know what Cameo is, fucking check it out. But first, come give us money, and then go check out Cameo. What was I just saying?
Nicole Eggert, Scott Baio. Unconfirmed. Oh yeah, how much allegations?
Yeah, you think?
Do you think there's some truth to the Me Too?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know. She was obviously very young when they started the show, so she was a teenager.
She admitted she had an obsession with him, and she had some mental issues.
Well, he was big time back then.
Oh yeah, it was Chachi.
But he was also like 30 when he was doing that show.
Yeah.
And she was like 14.
Yeah. How old was she in season 5?
The three seasons, right? In the second run?
Four.
Two, three, four, five.
Four. She was 15, so she could have been legal by the end. But
I don't think we should be just...
I'll discuss it. She could have been legal by the end. I mean, we'd have to do some hardcore research. I mean,
I don't know when her claim
We would is. Need a real pervert to research that. I almost did. I did not, though.
And then?
I got a lot of shit going on in my life, okay? I'm busy.
Not watching Charles in Charge.
I watched some. Now to bring the episode back to a more mature level, which is what I usually like to do within an episode. I'm the mature one, so I have to bring it back to a mature topic. As you can see by this clip, I decided to point out to the guys. Well, I want to talk about a very controversial scene of the show. Let's see if you cats can pick this up. Okay.
What's this, from season 1 or season 2?
2.
That's weird company by an adult, and she said that's not going to happen.
You can't fucking
but
hear it.
It could happen. If you go, you'll have to take me.
You guys are dawdling again. Come on, let's put these dishes away. Adam, eat your vegetables.
You never ate all your vegetables.
I've eaten plenty of vegetables in my time.
Not according to you.
Who just farted?
You guys are dawdling again.
Okay, everybody, hold on. I gotta play this out loud for Steven, because he doesn't have a headset. Stand by.
You never ate all your vegetables.
Somebody, I don't know if it's the fucking kid or who it is, but he fucking
guys
farts.
It's the Mac and Me kid?
Dishes away. Adam, eat your vegetables.
You never ate all your vegetables.
I've eaten plenty of vegetables in my time.
Not according. You never ate all your vegetables. Womp.
Adam, eat your vegetables.
You never ate all your vegetables.
I've eaten plenty of vegetables.
I watched that episode today. Oh, God. I, of course, since I think farts are hilarious, I immediately noticed that. And I was like, you know what? I got to record that, and I got to ask, what do you guys think?
Was it a real fart, or was it a cough? One of their plates or cups sliding across the table?
It helps us answer one of our main questions. There's at least one butthole.
God, he's good. Touché. He's good, folks. He's good. He takes notes, and he's quick-witted. Yeah, so I watched that today, and I, of course, heard that right away, and I'm like, and I think, I don't know if my wife was sitting next to me or who was sitting next to me, but we looked at each other like, rewound it. Sure enough, somebody farted. How does that end up in the show?
Where was that mic? Where's the hot mic?
I don't know. Well, because they're filming that kid, it has to be over him.
Yeah.
So he has to have been the one that farted. That's a stupid little kid.
You can't act that out. Nobody hears that when they're editing the show.
And he must have been such a bad actor that that's what they're like, fuck me. The best take we have is when this little shit farts. Do you think anybody will hear it? They're like, probably not.
Who cares?
People are going to be laughing so hard at him telling Charles he didn't eat his vegetables. This is comic genius. No one's going to hear the fart. They're going to be laughing too hard. Next episode in our series was Ernest Goes to Camp. This was a family favorite when I was growing up, all the Ernest movies. But instead of getting kind of right into the subject of the movie, I get a little sidetracked with one part of the wardrobe in the movie. All the camp counselors have shorts that are way too short.
And T-shirts that are too tight tucked into the little shorts.
Yeah.
Like, old men in the 80s loved wearing tight T-shirts tucked into things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember in high school, the football coach, the main PE guy, tiny, tiny shorts all the time. Mm-hmm. Like Goldberg's.
Yeah.
You know, Callen, he wears
white T-shirts.
Yep.
Stretched so thin.
Yep.
You can see through it.
Yeah, those had to have been shirts that, like, maybe down and buckled up underneath their crotch. Because how else did their balls stay in their shorts? How did their balls and or their penis not stick out of the bottom of their shorts?
Fair point.
Right? Okay, good.
Checks out.
Yeah.
It tracks.
So with a little bit of Kevin's research, we actually kind of realized that the movies that they were shoving down our throats when we were little kids were garbage. And they seem to be the main focus of our podcast.
I went back and looked because this movie's trash, but it gets an 82% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
It cost $3 million to make. It grossed $23 million. This was a smash hit.
Yes.
Yeah. Even today, people love it and made a ton of money.
Yes.
This was a very successful thing.
Yes.
Successful trash.
Which means you're wrong in your opinion, yes.
What other movies were airing at that time that this was the acceptable option to go to?
What year was it? Did you check?
1987.
Masters of the Universe. Howard the Duck.
This is why this movie did
it was
okay.
All shit.
87
honestly,
was a garbage
honestly,
year.
Honestly, I think those other two movies were the same year. I think they were 87 also. Mm. Howard the Duck was. I'm almost positive. And Masters, I think they were, what a shit year. Holy shit. That's why all this stuff was so awesome. I was only 10 years old. What a great time to grow up. The 80s. Great movies, great television. But something drew me back to the previous subject.
Going back to the plot of this movie.
Yes.
We got to talk about the evil mining company, because every good 80s movie has an evil mining company. It's the Crater Mining Company.
Crater Mining Company, yep.
These assholes, they got Lyle Alzado.
Yep.
He's the fucking shit in this movie. Kicks Ernest's ass.
It's amazing how massive that guy was back then. My God.
I mean, steroids. That's all steroids.
True. You know what I couldn't help but thinking? How did he get into those jeans?
You were watching Ernest Goes to Camp, and all you thought about was, how did Lyle Alzado get into those jeans?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We've talked about short shorts and jeans a lot.
You were skeletoring Lyle Alzado in this movie?
No. No, sir. Because I have a problem.
Did you dream of gay laser whipping Lyle Zato?
No. I have a problem where I am, I wouldn't say tall, but I'm not short, but I'm super fat. So people that make clothes don't think fat people are tall. So when I buy pants, lots of times the legs are like super short. So this guy, though, he's massive. He's like 6'5". So he's got super long legs, and he's probably got to have like a 40, 42 waist. Where the fuck did he find those pants?
Well, did you do your research? And
well, no. Because it probably just would have shown me pictures of him with cancer, and I would have gotten sad.
Kevin then brings to our attention a little bit of information about the Kickakee chief in the movie, which then ends up leading to a new character within our show.
Which, by the way, I looked up that Indian. It's the same Indian from that PSA in the 80s where the he crying. Cries at the yeah. pollution.
Oh, yep. Wow.
So I looked a little further. That motherfucker is 100% Italian.
No yep. way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I actually
did he pull an Elizabeth Warren on us?
He spent his entire career playing Native American chiefs in like everything he could possibly find.
That's man. Racist. Yep. That's racist.
100% yep. Italian. He's a Jamoke.
Oh. The Jamoke oh. tribe.
Hey, don't take my land. No.
Is Jamoke a racist term? We're going to find out. You know what else? Speaking of people who don't stay in their lane racially or whatever.
Careful.
Careful. The most interesting man in the world, Dos Equis guy.
Yeah.
Not Hispanic, not Mexican at all. He's just a Jewish guy named like Ted or something.
He can't be the most interesting man in the world because he's Jewish?
They play like he is. He speaks like, you know, he's in the... In the commercials.
Maybe he's Jewish, Dosaki's. But lived his whole life in...
No, he no. talks. No, he's on Cameo. And he's just like, I am the most interesting man in the world. Talks whiter than I do. Go ahead. Creator Mining Company. Bad people. Indian is actually Italian.
And sorry. Jamoke's not a racist term, actually.
We got to talk about the chefs, too. Thank you. What's it mean?
Appearing at the end of the 19th century as a blend of Java plus mocha, by the 1920s it became slang for someone who lacked mental abilities beyond that of a cup of coffee, probably influenced by moke. Jamoke.
I mean, it's okay. It's not racist, but now it just makes it seem dumber.
So you're just an idiot. You can call anybody a jamoke.
Yeah, yeah. You're just a dumb.
I thought it was just an Italian thing.
No, you're dumb.
No, you fucking jamokes. You guys are both jamokes.
And now I bring to you the the beginning of Tony Rigatoni.
We don't have another brave guy in our tribe? Shit! We're going to get wiped out. By wars? Well, no, because we keep doing this fucking test. Everybody keeps dying. Smitty keeps hitting everybody between the eyes. Well, I'm... Figuring, you know, the chief isn't, he's Italian, so all the other people in this tribe are Smitty and Tony and, hey, Anthony, come over here, we gotta, you fucking Jamork, come over to my teepee, we're gonna have some gabagoo. Got some gabagoo and some vino. My mother made it. You're going to fucking love it.
Hey, ya-ho-ya. Hey.
Hey, oh, wait. Did you just fucking ask if there's real tomatoes in the sauce? Did you just fucking ask my mother if there was real tomatoes in her sauce? That's it. We're doing the brave test on you tonight, Tony. Guess what, Tony? I'm not going to miss you, motherfucker. God damn it. Real tomato in the sauce, you piece of shit. How many kids your sister got now, Tony? How many kids?
Six? How many dads? Seven? Oh,
stop.
Shit.
Stop. Shit.
Steven's going to puke. This is my goal. This is my goal. Make Steven puke. He's sweating.
Oh, I'm hurting so much.
Oh,
jeez. I just see him in like, in their normal like... tribal garb from the waist down.
It's like Native American garb sitting
yeah,
in the
but
TV.
From the waist down, it's like Adidas tracksuit pants. Eating big old spaghettis and
But I'm gonna play. I'm gonna play Antony, the new chief of the Kikini tribe over here.
Chief Rigatoni,
Chief Tony Rigatoni over here. Hey, this is my wife, Carly Calamari over here.
Oh my god!
You come over here with your teeny linguini. Get out of here. Your sister's a slut, Tony. You fucking talk about my sister. My sister, bless her soul. May she rest in peace. She's a saint, Tony. She used to feed the homeless. What does your sister do, Tony? Have sex with hobos all the time?
All right.
Gives you those six goddamn kids. Do you even know their names? I bet she don't even know their names. Do they have names? Fucking trash. All right. Food, guys. You know what they should have done? Okay? What they should have done is they should have asked Chief, the guy.
Rigatoni Tony.
Chief Tony Rigatoni, come over there. I know your mom's got some recipes, Chief. Why don't you come over here, Chief, and make us some food, okay? You got your mom's gabagoo? I know she makes probably a mean lasagna. That's some spaghetti. Come on.
Spaghetti.
Chicken parm. You know she makes some chicken parmesan there. Parmesan rigatoni, okay? Come on. Parmesan rigatoni over there. Don't worry, we won't invite fucking Tony and his 17 kids and his sister. Because you know what the kids go, the fucking 17 hobo dads go to because they don't got fucking jobs. All living out the fucking state because they ain't got nothing better to do. You know what though? Bless their heart. Bless their hearts, you know? And those two fucking kids, you know, I'm pretty sure they're retarded. You know what I'm talking about? The one that eats rocks? There's the one that eats rocks, and there's the one that goes around licking the bottoms of people's shoes. He just fucking goes around, he picks up people's shoes, and he licks the bottom. Who the fuck does that? You're not fucking normal if you do that. You don't lick people's shoes. My drunkest. I never would have licked the bottom of someone's shoe and I never would have hit a fucking rock, okay?
All right, everybody. That wraps up episode one of our three-episode year in review. It's been a great year. We plan to do a lot more for 2021. We're going to be in here with some YouTube. We got the merch that has probably actually already launched by the time I'm recording this message. Again, this is just episode one of our three-part year in review. So we hope you come back and check it out and make sure you share these episodes with all your friends and family. You can check us out on all your podcast listening sites, Apple Podcast, Anchor. Our main one where you can find all the other ones is anchor.fm/whatisthisblank. We've got Facebook, Instagram, What Is This Blank, Twitter at What Is This Blank Podcast, email, What Is This Blank Podcast at gmail.com. And again, you can find our merch on Redbubble. You can find it there. You can find the link to our shop on our Facebook page. So go check it out. And again, stay tuned for in another week or two for episode 2 of our year in review. Thanks for listening. Bye.